Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So yesterday I was out of practice, and I watched Cam Ward, and I saw the interception, and I saw the completions, and I saw the ball he threw over Curtis Jacobs' head for Gunnar Helm that hit him right in the hands. It was a beautiful throw over the middle. I watched it. And I was like, yeah, Cam was good. Fine. You know, it was a good day. The end. And then Jim Wyatt put out there that he was 20 of 21 and Twitter was, and I thought, oh, God. And it was funny. I was listening this morning because I wanted to hear how Paul would react to it. And Paul was like, I mean, it was fine. Like, it was good. It was solid. I think was the word PK used. Wasn't the end of the world. So this morning I saw on YouTube, you know, this Rich Eisen show, it's incredible because I don't even know where to watch the Rich Eisen show. I hear it's going to be on ESPN Plus, which is not going to be something that I'm going to tune into. Open up the ESPN app, scan the QR code, log in or whatever. I'll do that for a baseball game. I'm not going to do that for Rich Eisen's radio show. I also don't know if it's actually on the radio. But again, Rich Eisen's team deserves a gold star and an A++ for the way that they get those YouTube videos out there, because he's always popping up on YouTube for me. So these little cuts about Rich Eisen talking about the Titans, I find. And so I saw Rich Eisen talks about Cam Ward's reps at minicamp, and I thought when I clicked this, I knew this was going to be Rich Eisen doing one of those Jim Wyatt reports that Cam Ward was 20 of 21 at minicamp. I knew it was going to be that. I was actually surprised that that wasn't what this was about. This is about the reps. You know, Brian Callahan's talked about the equal reps, and I don't know how it went today because I wasn't there. But yesterday, Will Levis got the first rep behind the first team offensive line in 11-on-11 team period. The week before, Brandon Allen got the first rep. Cam then went in there second yesterday. Again, Cam's getting the most reps, but everybody's getting some reps. Tim Boyle, I think it's like one or two reps, whatever. But this is what Rich Eisen said on his show.
Quarterback reps. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Cam Ward. How many reps? Are we still splitting reps in Tennessee?
What are we doing?
Are we splitting reps in Tennessee? Brian Callahan, are we splitting reps? Cam Ward's starting week one. We all know it. The American people know it. Tennessee Titans fans know it. Can you imagine Will Levis gets that start in Denver? We're going to let Cam just sit and watch a little bit.
I believe anything.
Would that be similar to when, remember Tom Savage started week one?
For Deshaun Watson?
And then Deshaun came in the second half?
And then started his first game the next week on the NFL Network Thursday Night Football debut 3 days later in Cincinnati.
And he had like a 50-yard run or something.
His tight ends were all hurt.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of injuries up front. And he scored his first career touchdown running it in from midfield.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Please don't botch this, Tennessee.
Whoa now. That last part right there just totally triggered me. Where this producer, and I have no idea who this is, and I'm sure he's famous because I'm sure he's like one of the Danettes or something. He said, please don't botch this, Tennessee. And that triggered me this morning. Again, I thought I was going to watch something that was going to get me riled up because here's Rich Eisen talking about how great Cam Ward was at minicamp yesterday when, again, Cam was good. He was fine. He was solid. He was what you want to see. He was not Mahomes yesterday. Okay, let's chill out for a second. So I was expecting this was going to be yeah, he was so good. And instead, it was a, hey, you know, what's Brian Callahan doing here? I mean, with Brian Callahan, is he going to put Will Levis out there? I mean, how in the world could they put Will Levis out there week one? But then again, we saw the Texans do that with Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson. And then this and that freaking producer goes, please don't screw that. How did he say it at the end? Can we get that very end of the cut there, Reed? How does he say it? Please don't botch this, Titans, or whatever he says. At the very end of it, again, basically being like, please, Titans, don't screw this up by not starting Cam Ward, play the cut, the very end of it.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, please don't botch this, Tennessee.
Please don't botch this, Tennessee. See, this is why it triggered me. because the please don't botch this Tennessee is exactly how I feel about Cam Ward. And I think Cam Ward's got real talent. I mean, real talent. And I've now seen him throw in person. Because remember, everybody said, when you see him throw in person, it's different than when you watch the tape. Well, I've seen him throw in person, and he's got that lightning quick release, and that matters in the NFL. Now, I want to see Cam throw the ball down the field outside the numbers from the pocket. I don't know if he can do it, but again, I'm not saying he can't. So I am of the same mindset. He's got real talent. I watched his tape. He's a first rounder. Now, would I have taken him first overall? You know the answer is no. And if the reported Giants trade was legit, I would have said, you know, hey, make that trade right then and there. But when it comes to Cam Ward, what I am scared to death of is that the Titans are going to botch this. I am scared to death that the Titans are going to fail Cam Ward. The truth is, with these young quarterbacks that you draft at the top, we don't know if they're going to be any good or not. Mariota was as accomplished of a college player as you could possibly be. The only person who was more accomplished than him was the guy that was taken first, Jameis Winston. And he's a backup. So is Marcus. Vince Young was the national champion. And again, talk about leading your team to victory. That's what he did at Texas. Didn't work out. So, again, we've lived through that. And I look at these quarterbacks, and Mike Borgonzi said it when he was asked at the Senior Bowl about what he took away from the Mahomes experiment in Kansas City, and he said straight up, you have to have a plan. And in Kansas City, we had a plan. And you have to follow through with the plan, because at times in Kansas City, it was hard watching Mahomes in practice and saying, no, 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 keep this guy on the bench. So when it comes to the Titans botching this, what I'm worried about is the Titans putting Cam Ward out there before Cam Ward is ready, or putting Cam Ward out there in a situation where Cam Ward's going to get beaten down. And I use the example of the Denver game because it's going to take more than 1 week for the offensive line to be ready. Denver is one of the loudest and toughest places to play, up there with Seattle in the NFL. You don't have to play Cam Ward right away. You can sit Cam for the first two games, play him week three. If you go through training camp and the preseason games and you realize, you know what, this kid is ready. Like, he is ready today. Stick him out there. Fine. That I'm okay with. But guess what? Josh Allen didn't start week one in Buffalo. Nathan Peterman did. He started week two. Lamar Jackson didn't start week one in Baltimore. Joe Flacco did. Lamar started midway through the year. Mahomes didn't start right away. McNair didn't start right away. Aaron Rodgers didn't start right away. Tom Brady didn't start right away. And you wonder what all those guys have in common? Yeah, they're all league MVPs. So when I hear the don't botch this Titans, like when I hear that, I think to myself, oh no. That's what I'm worried about. Is what this guy is clamoring for, what this guy is saying has to happen, that Cam Ward has to play right away. What this guy is saying, and saying, oh, don't botch this, Tennessee. What are you talking about? You're this guy, this Rich Eisen, he's not going to watch the Denver game. Who's watching the Titans Denver week one? Fans of the Broncos and fans of the Titans. That's it. It's not like, oh, yeah, we've got Monday Night Football. It's the only game in town. Please give us something to watch so we don't have to watch Brandon Allen play quarterback. What's this guy care about? I mean, just give me a break. Give me a break. That's the stuff that scares me, is, again, this idea that because Cam Ward was the number one pick in the draft, that Cam Ward has to play right away, even if, A, Cam Ward's not ready, or, B, the situation is not ready for him to play. That worries me. your phones. 615-737-1025. TD said that the defense dominated today. That's after everyone got all excited about Cam Ward. And what Brian Callahan said about Cam Ward's performance yesterday. We'll hit that next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Brian, what do you make of the way that Cam shook off the early interception and the way he finished practice off yesterday?
Yeah, great to see. You know, you're going to, you know, quarterbacks throw interceptions. I don't know how many quarterbacks. I'd have to look at it to know for sure, but you know, most guys throw somewhere between, you know, 8 and 12 on a really good year. So interceptions happen. How you respond to them and how you bounce back in a game is always really important. It certainly didn't shy him away from throws, which is what you want to see. That they just, you know, they kind of get ready and throw it again, and that's a good thing to see in for a young player in his position in practice. So pleased to see that kind of response. Pleased to see his performance afterwards.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan on the way he performed yesterday. Again, I asked Gentry yesterday. I sent him a text, and I said to Gentry, I was like, what happened today at practice? Again, I was on Sirius, you know, from 11 to 2, and they practiced from 11 to 1. And here's what Gentry said. Ward wasn't terrible, but wasn't as good today. Some of that was the setup. They did a lot of third downs where the defense brought blitzes and pressured him into poor throws. Good, no interceptions. That I remember. Bad, he missed some open guys a few times. Ward got most of the quarterback reps, and the other three split the others. Levis had a couple of batted down balls, but he did have a beautiful throw in 2 minutes. With Ward, other than 2 minutes, where he struggled a bit there, I thought he was still the best quarterback. Defense had a good day, a lot of pressure, a lot of trash talking from Simmons. Think Cam is getting a nice rapport with Ridley. Got behind the defense for a TD ball throw from Ward. And said all the other quarterbacks hesitated to get rid of the ball more than Ward did. Just my opinion, but I really do like that. Gentry also says one more from the notes. Cedric Gray, of all people. Cedric Gray broke through the line to knock out a handoff on a reverse and then recovered the fumble. Mention that because he has been so MIA. So it sounds like Ward was okay, struggled a little bit. Look, that's going to happen. Here's what I worry about, you know, when it comes to the mini camps and everything else. What I worry about is this desire that, you know what, we want Cam Ward to be perfect day one. I worry about that. And then when it comes to these guys, I worry about them getting their confidence down because they're not perfect day one. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is if a guy can't play. And I've been to two practices, one OTA and one mandatory minicamp. I'm going to tell you, Cam Ward can play. Now, does that mean that he'll be a star in the NFL? I can't give you that. But Cam Ward is not where Malik Willis was 2 years ago. To me, that's a big difference. 615-737-1025. I am laughing my rear end off. Because my favorite part about this is everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody. There's a bunch of people in the text line that are saying, you're talking too much about Jeffrey Simmons. You're talking too much about that. And I'm like, guys, it's the story. And then people are replying in the text line saying, it's not the story. JC in Goodlettsville says, just because you cry for 2 days about Simmons missing an optional camp doesn't make it a big story. That was your opinion and not necessarily the same for everybody else. What's crazy is, start talking Cam Ward, stop talking Simmons. Not as many phones. Not as many texts, not as many tweets, not as many any of it. I'm telling you guys, I know what the story is. The story is Simmons. Simmons is a star in town. He's not a star nationally, but what is a star nationally compared to a star in town doesn't really matter. This is local radio. Roman Yossi is a star in town. He is not a star across the country. The big story is Simmons. Simmons has decided to go against everything the Titans are trying to preach and their classic sunshiny Brian Callahan way. And then Simmons is going to look at you and say the exact opposite. And I have a problem with that. I think it's bullcrap. And I've said as much. And I think a lot of you out there feel the same way. That's why it's the story. I don't get to make up the story. I am not the Lord when it comes to what's a story and what's not. One texter says, at this point, we're just expecting too much out of Simmons. We know what he is and what he's not. He likes being called the leader, but he doesn't actually like leading. It was great when he was one of the best players, but not when he's the best player. See, this is where I think Jeffrey Simmons' sweet spot is in the NFL. Because I still think Jeffrey Simmons is a very, very good player. It would be being on a team where he's not the star. If he were to go to a team that has either a bunch of already really good players or a stud quarterback who takes up all the attention, and Simmons just goes out there and plays defense, you'd get the best out of Simmons because Simmons would constantly be complaining, you know, at least internally, which would motivate him, but he would be constantly upset about the fact that not enough people were talking about him. And then he'd go out there and play well, and he wouldn't be expected to sack the quarterback all the time because he's not the highest paid player on the team. If Jeffrey Simmons were to go to the Buffalo Bills, I think Jeffrey Simmons would be a great fit on that team because nobody in Buffalo is expecting Jeffrey Simmons to rule the roost. That belongs to Josh Allen. And it's abundantly clear that it belongs to Josh Allen because when Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs got into it, guess who got sent packing? It wasn't Josh. That's the kind of place he needs to be. And when he was on this team with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and Kevin Byard and Mike Vrabel was the coach and everything else, he fit in perfectly. The problem was that when those guys left, Jeffrey Simmons decided, okay, now it's my turn to shine. And I saw it the first day they wore pads last year. When he was talking and he got in a fight, and then there was a, and Callahan had to come out there and go, oh, we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to go to whatever. So give me a break. One texter into the text line says, the Jeff Simmons conversation is not personal. When it comes to Simmons, we're talking about what makes him a good player or what makes him a bad player. Again, you know, when it comes to what's personal, for me, I look at it like this, right? There was a player on the Predators years ago, and he was partying way too much. And somebody in the organization came up to me and they said, hey, is so-and-so partying too much? And I knew the guy was. And I said, yeah. So yeah, he's partying too much. And we never really talked about it on the radio. And I knew the guy was partying a bunch. And then later I asked a buddy of mine that was more in the party circuit than I was. And I said, hey, is this guy ever going to stop partying and focus on hockey? And the guy said, that's none of your business. And I said, actually, it is. Because my business is that team playing well. And if this guy's going out and partying too much and drinking too much and snorting too much and everything else too much, then we got a problem. I mean, that's what I call life of the two-way street. If I were to get arrested, and let's knock on wood and hope that doesn't happen, but if I were to get arrested, it would be front page of the, you know, News 2 and Channel 4 and everything else. And whether or not I was guilty, that doesn't matter. What would be the story is arrested. But that's the two-way street of this job. So when you're making $23.5 million and everybody's wondering why you're not playing better, that's not personal. It's the old saying, it's not personal, it's personnel. And the old saying, too, that they say in baseball, which I absolutely love, is don't like it, play better. Don't like it, play better. Don't like the fact that we talk about you not showing up for OTAs, play better. Win more than three games. You don't like it that we keep talking about how you don't get sacks when you get double teamed? Play better. Go get some sacks. It's really not that big of a deal. One texter said, the story should be TD calling you dishonest and hyperbolic on your own show. I don't remember him calling me dishonest. I don't think he did. Now, again, I don't like the, you know, oh, it sounds personal, because it's not personal. Well, it wasn't personal with Rand. It was, hey, Rand's got to do a better job. I've been on Callahan's ass, and I'm about to get on Callahan's ass. Again, I've been on Callahan's ass for like the last 3 weeks. Ever since he introduced that corny, remember the Titans, we're all going to get to know each other and love each other thing, I've been on Brian Callahan's ass. Nobody has said to me that that's personal, because it's not. Again, I want Brian Callahan to do well. But the truth is, man, like, if you don't start coaching better, if you don't hold people accountable, it's not going to work. So I'm sorry. I know what personal is. It's not personal. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of Callahan and his coaching staff, there's one guy in particular that I am just, I'm sorry. I can't anymore. Today was the final straw. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 for the game.
Brian, we've talked a lot about lessons from last season, how it's affected the offseason approach for the players. How has it affected you as a coach, the lessons you take from last year? How has it affected the staff? Or do you find you're going about this job differently or no?
Yeah, there's definitely some things that go about it differently. I still think I'm pretty true to who I am as far as my interactions with people and players and the staff. But there's a different urgency that goes on here for me, for how I deal with the staff in particular. I think a lot of the things I've learned, I've tried to put into practice. You know, it's one thing to like reflect and say, oh, I could have done this and this better. I've been pretty intentional about doing the things that I think we needed to change. I've sort of attacked those things, and they've been a part of my daily interactions and process. And a lot of it was kind of through this offseason program that we developed. And how do we best win football games, and how do I best put our team in position to do that? How do I coach that better? And how do I do a better job from a leadership perspective for our players and our staff? So there's a lot of things that go into that, but I think I've not strayed too far from who I am and how I interact, but I've also been really focused and intentional about what needed to be better.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan talking about, hey, so what have you learned from last year? And it was a long word salad where he's like, you know, really the accountability as far as the staff is concerned, we've been a little focused on that, blah, 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 whatever. But I have a hard time when it comes to the coaching staff. Because I've said this, you can't have the season he had and almost fire nobody. You know, they fired the special teams coach. Again, that was done kicking and screaming. They didn't have a choice. But the defensive coordinator returned, the offensive coordinator returned, pretty much all the position coaches returned. There's a Mike McCoy here, and Justin Outen is no longer there. But for the most part, it's the same staff. And I thought, that's kind of a joke. Like, kind of a joke. Now, Denard Wilson today had a press conference. Coordinators were talking today. And so when Denard Wilson had his press conference, I was listening to it to hear what he had to say about the defense, and I was appalled when it came to Denard Wilson's press conferences. Now, this is something that at the beginning, when they hired Denard Wilson, I thought he had great energy. You know, I was like, hey, that's great energy. I have no idea if he can coach. But there's great energy. He says he values pass rush. You know, it seems to be those are the things I care about. Like this guy might work. And last year, the defense was playing well in camp. We didn't know Levis was a complete and total bum. So I figured, hey, defense might be okay. And last year, the defense sucked. And the defense got off on the fact that they were the second-ranked defense in the NFL because Will Levis and the special teams gave up so many yards themselves to allow the other teams not to have to go very far to score. But the Titans' defense was awful. They didn't get off the field in big moments at any point last year. They got run all over by Malik Willis and Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. Indy ran for 355 on them in a game. I mean, the expected points in the Washington game was something like minus 29. I mean, it was awful. Just awful last year. And I thought they should have fired Denard Wilson. And I mean this with no disrespect to Denard Wilson. Now, the rest of this is about to be some disrespect to Denard Wilson because I think, you know, again, the press conference today, I couldn't. But I thought they should have fired Denard Wilson because I thought Brian Callahan needs to, after the first year that was a disaster, needed to hire an experienced defensive coordinator with whom he could just farm that side of the ball off to. And he could say, I'm running the offense. and Wade Phillips is running the defense. I'm running the offense, and Clark Lee is running the defense. Again, you can pay more than most colleges. Jeff Hafley was the head coach at BC. He's now the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. So I'm running the offense, and this guy's running the defense. And instead, they brought Denard back. So today, Denard Wilson had a press conference. And just listen to how toxically positive Denard Wilson is about things that you know aren't true. Let's start with Jeffrey Simmons and the weight loss Jeffrey Simmons has achieved. And listen to Denard Wilson. Play the cut.
Jeff coming back in the shape that he did, how beneficial is that going to be for him and for you guys in the way that you deployed?
Oh, it's going to be beneficial all the way around. First of all, I'm jealous. Right, because when I look at him, I'm like, damn, he looks great right now. So he's inspired me to go get in better shape this offseason. So I might do a little bit of training. But I think that, you know, Jeff is coming back, and he's trying to be the best version of himself. He's in great shape right now, and his attitude is unbelievable. You know, we have the mindset around here right now, and especially on defense, and every rep, everything we do, refuse to lose. And he has that mindset. He refuses to lose, and there's no excuse. And that's for all of us as a defense. And so I like where he's at. I like the energy that he brings when he's around here. I like the attention to detail, how demanding he is with the other players. So I think that Jeff's going to take another step. He's going to be the best version of himself, and, you know, we'll line up, and people going to have to deal with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons, man, I'll tell you, he's got the best attitude. He showed up yesterday. The entire team showed up for 3 weeks. He didn't, but he's got the best attitude. Boy, I'll tell you, he's looking great. I mean, it makes me, he's so great, I want to lose weight myself. But hey, with him, we refuse to lose. You lost 14 games last year. There are no excuses. All Simmons does is make excuses. He was making excuses earlier about, oh, yeah, you know, when we rush the quarterback, it's all four guys. It's not just one guy. But we all know they're going to double team me. We all know they're going to game plan me. We all know. Oh, my God. And then he was asked about the Simmons double teams. And we may have to play this cut twice, because when I heard this, I just thought to myself, does this guy think everybody is stupid? Play the cut.
What do you expect of him against double teams? Premier defensive tackles around the league.
Right. Well, look, is this, when you get a double team, and if you know how to work, how the four guys work up front, it's four against five. When you get the slide, all right, it's always either you work an edge or you work to split them. Because you got to understand this. Sometimes you have to split them, and the other guy gets the one-on-one. If you don't split them, now it's a hole where a quarterback can escape. So, like I said, Jeff's going to win, and he has been double-teamed and won on double teams. But we have to do a better job up front, rushing together, being four against five, all right, against their front, and then presenting certain packages to make it easier for him to win. Jeff's going to win against anybody. Jeff's a dominant football player. Every team in the International Football League would love to have 98 lineup on their defensive line.
Okay. So right there, he just said, you know, when it comes to a double team, you're going to have to win on double teams, and that should help everybody else out. But it's all about the four guys working together. And that's the key. Jeff's going to do his thing. It's the other guys that have to do their thing. Okay. First off, number one, all the best players in the NFL get double teamed. Everybody who's a great player gets double teamed. The difference between you and J.J. Watt, or you and Aaron Donald, or you and Chris Jones, is that they beat the double team. The second thing is, again, talking about, well, hey, it's about all four rushers. Well, that sounds good, but how many new rushers did you go get this year? If last year it was everybody else except for Simmons' fault, how many guys did you change? You released Harold Landry, and you drafted Femi Oladejo. Again, I know they gave Lorenzo Carter, you know, a couple scraps here and there, but that's not like a big-time addition. So you got rid of Harold Landry, and you drafted Femi Oladejo, and you signed Draymond Jones. So you added two guys, you got rid of one. The rest of the group is going to be Arden Key, Tavondre Sweat, Sebastian Joseph Day, who did get sacks last year, who you did re-sign. So you didn't really change anything, did you? except for the one guy. And am I supposed to sit here and believe, and I really mean this, am I supposed to sit here and believe that Harold Landry wasn't doing what he was supposed to do? Am I supposed to believe that Harold Landry didn't know what to do, that they were sitting there in the meeting saying, Harold, you've got to be able to do this. We need you to do this for us to win. And Harold Landry would go out to the field and do the exact opposite. Am I supposed to really believe that? Because Mike Vrabel was around Harold Landry for his entire career, with the exception of last year. And the second Harold Landry came available, Vrabel did whatever it took to sign him. So I don't believe anything that Denard Wilson says anymore. And so when you're not a good coach, and last year his defense stunk, other than the second in yards, which again was a total product of the terrible special teams and the terrible, and I mean terrible, performance by the quarterback, the defense, this team lost twice to Mac Jones. Mac Jones. This team lost twice to. So when you had a bad year last year, and all you do is patronize the players and tell all of us, oh, no, you don't understand. Like, we're all stupid. Like, we're blind, and we're listening to the game on the radio. And so when we say what's going on and he tells us what it is, we say, oh, okay, that must be what it is because we don't have eyes. We couldn't see it. To me, you're not a good coach. So when I hear Denard Wilson, I'm thinking this guy is more of a motivator, more of a motivational speaker. Or maybe he should do this, talk radio. Just crack open the mic and just say a bunch of bull crap. Because he gets to the podium on a consistent basis and just says some of the most unbelievable crap every single week. I will never forget last year. In fact, we'll find the cuts and we'll play them on the other side. But we'll find the cuts where he was talking about why Simmons and Arden Key don't sack the quarterback. And it was the most patronizing gook I've ever heard. Just the most patronizing slop ever. Like the gobbledygook just out of his mouth. So how am I supposed to take this guy seriously as a defensive coordinator when his defense was awful? He's telling me that the issue was everybody else except for Simmons, which, again, there's an audience of one for this. That's what Simmons wants to hear, is that it's everybody else's fault and not his. I can't take this guy seriously. He's never been a defensive coordinator. I had a college coach text me when it came to the Titans defense, and he said that he was studying the Ravens-like defenses this offseason. And this college coach said that he looked at the Seahawks with Mike McDaniel, and he looked at the Dolphins with Anthony Weaver, and he looked at the Titans with Denard Wilson, and he said, okay, you know, and he said that the Titans don't do anything like the Ravens. Their scheme is nothing like the Ravens. So the other teams are, not this team. So today, when Denard Wilson got up there and he said those things, and again, those aren't the only ones that he's saying, that he was like super positive, like, oh, you can't believe this guy, he's incredible, this is the best. But those are the ones I heard, and I was like, I can't believe any of this. I can't believe any of it. 615-737-1025. We'll find those cuts and we'll play them, and we'll get to your phones. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
We talk about playing like a Titan, all right? And when we say play like a Titan, the T, and I suggest you write it down, the T in Titan means tougher. We will play tougher for longer than our opponent. If you are not a tough guy, you do not belong on this defense.
Come on, Pat Kish, you've only got one.
Really intelligent football players. They're tough. They play with an aggressiveness. Hey, hey.
The second letter in there is I. It's for intelligence. How smart are you? How fast can you pick up the system? And how fast you can play?
Discipline on three. One, two, three, discipline.
The second T means for together.
Great communication. Great communication.
Because a team that fails to connect is a team that fails to win. The A means aggressive. We play an aggressive style of football. We defend every blade of grass. And the last thing is, we play nasty.
know, you want guys that I think this rookie class embodies a lot of.
We play through the echo of the whistle.
Guys that really love playing football.
We impose our will.
They love winning more than anything else.
And we make people feel who we are.
You want a bunch of guys that love to win, and they'll do whatever it takes to put themselves in that position.
I have them on the field! Stop walking on my field!
That's what it means to play like a Titan.
There you go. That was Denard Wilson on the Little Titans YouTube show. I mean, again, Denard Wilson might be a chief motivator, but I'm looking for some substance when it comes to how are we going to fix the defense this year, coach? How's that going to, instead of just, again, blowing hot air? And I said that we would find the cuts. Again, this is when I started to think, Denard Wilson may think we're all stupid. Reed, what's the date on these cuts? Is it September 27th of last year?
Yeah, September 27th, 2024.
Okay. So let's play the Simmons one first. So Paul asks him why Simmons doesn't get sacks. Here's that exchange.
How do you assess Jeff's play to this point?
I think Jeff's been playing excellent. As you can see, you know, teams don't run the ball up the middle on us. And then, like I said last week, you know, they slide to him a lot. But he's been doing an excellent job. He's controlling and neutralizing the line of scrimmage along with Sweat. And he continues to just be one of our better players.
I'm curious, though, because, you know, you see a lot of players in this league, whether it's Chris Jones, whoever, like, it slides to them.
Yeah.
But they still manage to produce.
Well, so, it's also about us on first and second down stopping the run and allowing him to get off. And then, you know, we've been playing teams where when we stop the run or we create negative plays on first down, they don't allow us to rush because they screen. You know, they get the ball out quick. And it's just been one of those things right now. But he's working diligently. Everybody else is. And, you know, he'll make the plays. It's still a long season. It's early. You know, we're still figuring it out. All right. But we got to figure out fast. And, you know, Jeff, I have no worries about Jeff. He's one of our best players. And he'll continue to be one of our best players.
Narrator, they did not figure it out. This is the Arden Key one. This is the one that pissed me off the most. This is when I really started to think, like, okay, Denard Wilson is completely full of it. Play the cut.
At least on the stat sheet, it seems like Arden has been a guy that hasn't made a lot of impact. What's been your assessment of him?
I think Arden has done a hell of a job. And when you see him, you know, sometimes it's not the stats, but the way he plays, how violent he plays, I think he's done a great job. It's another thing where once we get hot, he'll get hot. You know, a lot of times he's been right there by the quarterback and the ball has come out. So, you know, we got to do a better job in rushing coverage, staying connected body to body, and make these quarterbacks hesitate so he can get there.
You say once we get hot, he'll get hot. Aren't some of these guys responsible for getting you hot?
Well, they are, and they're doing the best they can. But like I say, in certain situations, the ball's coming out fast, a lot of screens here and there. You know, these guys have been productive over the years, and they're still going to produce.
I mean, again, narrator, they did not produce. This is why I have a hard time taking Denard Wilson seriously. And again, I want to read the tweet, or I want to read the text, excuse me, text. The text I got from a college coach who studied the Titans when it came to breaking it down, and he said, a colleague suggests that I watch the Titans. They look nothing like the Ravens. I'm not talking personnel. I'm talking X's and O's. I acknowledge that sometimes you have to tailor things, but the style of play is far from the Ravens. Just surprised is all. Simmons, and he actually says Simmons looks like he got a little heavy, not as dominant. Nothing special at all. I feel like I've seen 10 different combinations in the secondary. And by the way, if you've been out there at minicamp, there's a whole bunch of who out in the secondary, like the first team secondary. There's Jarvis Brownlee. There's Roger McCreary. And then there's who? Because, you know, Legarius Sneed, he can't ever be bothered to practice. And they still tell us how great he's doing every time. I asked Callahan yesterday, I was like, can you rely on Sneed? And he's like, well, he's done it in this league before. I was like, okay. One texter says, good Lord, this team is so cooked. Perfect coach for this team, Denard Wilson, with consistent excuses. One texter does say, well, what would you say, Jared? Like, what would you say, Jared, if they're asking you about these questions and they're, you know, at some point, it's okay to say something negative. I'm not saying get up there and say Simmons thinks he's all that in a bag of chips and he's not even a bag of Ruffles. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it's okay that when L'Jarius Sneed is involved allegedly in a car lot shooting during the season to voice at least, I don't know, a hint of displeasure with that. They can't do it. When it comes to Jeffrey Simmons affecting the quarterback, it's okay to say, hey, you know, we as a team, you know, this isn't just about Jeff, but we as a team have got to get to the quarterback. We got to help out our offense. The way you do that is to get to the quarterback. You got to create turnovers, and we simply have not done a good enough job, and it starts with me. It's easy to say that. Instead, it was Arden will heat up soon enough, and when Arden heats up, we'll heat up. Or no, when we heat up, Arden will heat up. And Paul's sitting there saying, wait a minute, hold on. Isn't he responsible for you to heat up? It reminds me of the it reminds me of the one time that Craig Aukerman got out there and was talking about Kyle Phillips and how he couldn't catch punts. And you know when you're being compared to Craig Aukerman that you sound like a bozo. And Craig Aukerman was like, you know, it's just all mental with Kyle because physically there's nothing wrong. And Paul followed back and said, okay, but physically he's not catching the ball. And I laughed out loud in that press conference. Josh says, hey, what's wrong with Ruffles? I'm sorry. Ruffles suck. Like the Ruffles with the, like the orange Ruffles, those are good. But just your plain yellow Ruffles, they stink. David, read your thoughts on the Ruffles.
Sour cream and cheddar are what you're referring to. And yes, they're awesome. Plain Ruffles.
What about the regular yellow ones?
Plain potato chips in general are just bad. There's no use for them.
I just, you know, there was this one discussion that came up. I was listening to a show and they have a segment, the five questions. It's one segment they do. Five questions that have nothing to do about sports. I actually enjoy it, which would probably surprise you. But one of the questions was like to rank the original chips. Like the original Lay's multi-pack, which is Lay's, barbecue Lay's, Cheetos, Fritos, red Doritos, and blue Doritos. And I was shocked by how many people are like, oh, yeah, Fritos have to be at the top. Fritos stink. Fritos stink. Regular Lay's stink. I'm trying to think here.
The was this show out of Texas? Because if you're in Texas, I can see why you're
No. It was the Boston show I like.
I didn't even know they sold Fritos in Boston.
Again, it's the Lay's multi-pack. I'm sorry, I am not interested in a yellow bag of chips. The Lay's, I'm not interested in the regular Lay's. It depends on the mood. I think I would prefer barbecue the best. But if you had to, I'm telling you right now, the blue Doritos, those are legit. And Jeffrey Simmons thinks he's a blue Dorito, and he is not. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared versus Joe is next. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game.